This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Why do people so often bring up the past? Even St. Paul talked to the Corinthians about their ancestors and how God dealt with them. Stay with us this day as we talk about our unity with the Israelites of the Old Testament.
We learn from many as far as our Christian faith is concerned. There are some precious gems in the scriptures that reveal dynamic truths that help us along our way. We'll use one of these texts today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have a tremendous love for us who are your children by grace through faith in Christ. You have a tremendous love for the world, but you are also a righteous God. In this Lenten season, help us to understand how true that is. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ. There is an old saying, don't throw away history. You can learn a great deal from it. And that is what our text is teaching us today. Let me read this part of our text that deals with a subject that I want to get a hold of and share with you. Paul writes in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized." Notice that word. "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert." What does that mean? "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things that they did." Let's take a little bit of a closer look at this particular matter. Israel was God's chosen people. And now, under the leadership of Moses, they were on the way to the promised land. As they walked out there, God fed them with food each day and gave them water to drink. He saw to it that they were protected from the enemies that could easily have destroyed them. They were the promised children. And then one day, God made this announcement to Moses. "Moses, you and most of the people of Israel will never see the promised land. But you will be buried and scattered out here in this particular wilderness." In other words, that which they had, they lost because of disobedience. Now you might ask the question, why does St. Paul, writing a letter to the Corinthians, bring up this particular message that comes from way back in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, so forth? Why did he do that? And he makes it very clear that it is because of us. These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And as I said, I am interested, as we try to begin to apply this to our day and what it has to say to us, what does it really mean? Now, most of us in the area of Christendom baptize our children. Some wait until they're a bit older. And then after they have made their confession, then they baptize their child. We understand that, and we understand and respect the difference in interpretation here. But as I deal with this text today, it is from the bulk of the people in the church who baptize their children that there is a real lesson to learn. And those of you who do not, at the end, I will try to give a special note to you and how this can also be applicable. Baptism for us is a sacrament. It's a sacrament through which God speaks to us. It's the beginning of God's regenerating act that brings us into fellowship with Him and with His people. So what happens after baptism? Well, the parents, or whoever it might be, bring that child that he may be anointed with water, that they may promise before Christ in the congregation that they will raise him in the faith. They even bring sponsors along with them, or godparents, they sometimes call them, that if the parent is not doing what he has promised to do, the godparents are supposed to try to get it done. I think it's good for us to remember that all the time. You who have stood at the baptismal font have promised God that you will really teach those children the way of salvation. And you have also said that you would see that they are surrounded by God's people. That means that you will bring them to church, not just once in a while, but on a regular basis. That you will see to it that they're in a Sunday school. You'll see to it that they're in the confirmation class. You'll stand there on confirmation day and hear that girl or boy say, "I believe in Jesus Christ. I trust him." And you're happy. But the work has just begun. For the young person now is deciding that he wants a life of his own. And it is different from that life that he has been used to. These people who lived alone without Christ could do whatever they wanted to do. And that continued on right in through the older years. If that happens, they are out of a relationship with God, even though they have been baptized. Let me say that again. Even though they have been baptized, they are left out of a relationship with God because they turned their backs on God. Let me read to you from a commentary that I use quite often. It's written by Dr. Tom Wright, who is an Episcopalian, and of course those people like us and many others baptize their children. Writes this man, "You must not presume that because you are baptized Christians, sharing in the community life where the Spirit is known and present, and eating and drinking the bread and wine of the Eucharist, you have automatically reached a level that requires no further moral effort or restraint." In other words, baptism has taken care of it all. Paul says that he really does bring you through baptism into the Messiah's family. And the Eucharist really does let you share in the life of the crucified and risen Jesus. But Christian sacraments, writes this Episcopalian theologian, don't make you holy in all other respects. They don't automatically bring you salvation. On the contrary, precisely because they are huge privileges, they carry corresponding responsibilities. Just as the children of Israel went slack on their responsibilities and so lost the privileges, almost all of them failed to reach the promised land. So Paul is anxious that the Corinthians, who are insistent on their rights and freedoms, may slide back into paganism and so fail to make real for themselves the full Christian inheritance they have been promised. If even Paul needed to engage in a boxing match with his own body, in case he might find himself disqualified from God's kingdom after having announced the message to others, how much more must the Corinthians be prepared to live out of the life to which baptism and the Eucharist points? Two striking features of this little passage demand a further note. First, our baptism, if we depart from it, will not save us. But two, if after we have walked away, we will be converted and returned to the baptismal font, not to be baptized again, but returned to what your folks promised to you there, we will be saved. Now that perhaps comes as a bit of a shock to to some people because it's one of those portions of Scripture that you don't read as often as do others. You may be living in your baptismal covenant. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I am. I was born into a God-fearing home. They took me home and they taught me to pray and they taught me the Scriptures and they sent me to Sunday school. They took me to Sunday school. They took me to church every single Sunday, not just once in a while, but every Sunday. And I grew up in the faith. Jesus has always been my Savior. I have had awakenings. He comes to me in a precious way quite often, but He's always been mine. That's not true of all. I think back on my confirmation class. This does not make me any better than them. It is simply what the Word of God has done. A man now in my confirmation class came to listen to me preach way back there in Westbrook, Maine. And afterwards he said, "Could I talk to you for just a little bit?" And then he said, "You know, as I sat there listening to you, I thought I have departed from that faith. I no longer consider myself a Christian. I no longer trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. In fact, I no longer really believe that there's anything after death. Can you help me?" Well, in a few brief moments, I did everything that I knew how. Passages that I pointed him to in the Scriptures, asked him to come to the pastor of the church who is serving there now and talk to him and lay it all out in order that he might be converted. I never heard from that man again. I remember one time when we were printing our annual report, and at that time in our congregation we listed every person who was a member of the church. On this particular occasion, a man was omitted, but not because of any mistake, rather because he never came to church. He was in a business that was not really reasonable for a Christian to be in. He had been talked to about that, and he said, "Well, I think I know what I'm doing." But as that man got older, he became ill. And I stood beside his bedside one day, where he never got up. And I said to him, "My friend, are you trusting in anything to happen for you after you breathe your last? Is God going to do anything for you?" "Oh, of course," he said. "That's all taken care of. I have been baptized." Now, God, forgive me if I'm judgmental, but there was nothing in that man's life that indicated to the general public that he was a believer in Christ. He could well be likened to the people of Israel who had been baptized into Moses, but then they went their jolly old way. God continued to bless them with food and shelter and protection, but they went their own way. They were going to live like the world was going to live and do things that were certainly not pleasing to God. They all ate the same food and drank the same drink, for they drank from the spiritual food. But they were all men and women who committed adultery, who wanted nothing to do with the hearing of the Word of God. And God said, "I will protect you until we get to that point that we go into the Promised Land, and you will not come." And so the text tells us very clearly that only a few went into the Promised Land, yet they were all baptized. I tell you, people, I don't want to take anything away from baptism. I cherish my baptism. But if we think that we're going to go to heaven simply because we have been baptized, and then we follow our own way and do exactly what we want to do, we will, according to Paul here, be lacking on the more important and wonderful things that God has given us in our heavenly home. In other words, again, and I'm being very repetitious, and I know how serious that is, that simply because you have been baptized, which is very important, which is the beginning of the act of regeneration, if I have walked away and no longer consider Jesus Christ mine, no longer read his word, no longer come to the church, no longer point people to the Savior, we cannot in any way be saved. Now, does this mean that we are now saying that we're saved by works? Of course it doesn't. It just says that baptism has to be followed until we get into a living, personal relationship with God. Then and only then are we his, both now and forevermore. Think of it. They lived out there in the wilderness. There they had their day. Whatever they wanted to do was fine. For we are the children of Israel. Now think of it. We live in this world to live as we please, but it is not according to God's will. We scoff at it. We laugh about it. God will see us through our death time. But if at that death time our baptism has not been carried on or picked up with a conversion experience later on from where you had drifted away and now got back into that baptismal covenant, then you would be his forever. Now let me say this to you who do not baptize infants. You wait for a time of awakening. And then that person you love stands before the congregation and makes his or her confession. And then you baptize. The baptism that is that day is of no avail unless that person who makes his confession continues to grow and live in it. Understand it? Baptism is extremely important. It is a sacrament. It's where we begin our relationship with Christ. But then we walk with him. And there are influences from that word that show us that we are different people than those who have never been attuned to the Savior. Amen.
I know.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for our baptism, that you were there, and it was the beginning of a regenerating act that would keep us with you forever. But we know that for one reason or other, people stray from their baptism. And when they are reminded that they are out of a relationship with God, they become terribly disturbed, for they like the conduct of this world. They like the freedom they have to do whatever pleases their emotions. But God, turn them around, convert them, and send them on their way, lest they die in this valley of death. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to continue to live in your baptismal covenant until you reach the promised land. Christian Crusaders has been blessed through our 77-year history with generous and faithful listeners who have supported this ministry with their prayers and financial gifts. If you are able, please consider making a contribution to this ministry so we can continue to grow and serve, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to listeners in 22 stations across the country and shortwave to Europe. Memorial gifts, for instance, allow you to honor the memory of someone special to you while supporting Christian Crusaders' mission at the same time. Memorial gifts can be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know someone who might enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about this broadcast. They can find out more about this ministry as well as listen anytime from anywhere in the world on ChristianCrusaders.org. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.